Today we'd like to see the title of Haman hanged in Esther chapters 7 and 8. To the souls on this online world through MP3 or a YouTube channel on there, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 7, verse 10, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 8, verse 3. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman the Agagite and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Last question, chapter 8, verse 17. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews, because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? In the last time in Esther, chapter 6, verse 14, while they were still talking with him, the king's eunuch came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. Before Haman could recover from his humiliation, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried him to Esther's banquet. The crisis was reaching its decisive moment, and Haman's downfall was about to be revealed. It is encouraging to know that God is sovereign over the circumstances of our lives. Even when events appear accidental or delayed, God is able to work through them according to His purposes. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The events surrounding Mordecai demonstrate that God may work quietly and patiently behind the scenes. What appears to be coincidence may be part of His providential direction. Therefore, we can trust our lives to the Lord. His purposes will ultimately be fulfilled, and we can surrender ourselves to become instruments through which He accomplished His purposes. We do not know what God may have planned for us each day, but we can faithfully serve Him and trust Him with the future. Chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. On the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it shall be done." King Ahasuerus again came with Haman to Queen Esther's banquet. As they drank wine on the second day, the king again asked Esther what her petition was, assuring her that it would be granted, even if it meant half of his kingdom. Verse 3. Then Queen Esther answered and said, "If I have found a favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request." Esther now pleaded for her life, for the life of her people. This was the moment when the king learned that Esther's son was Jewish, and realized that the decree he had authorized at Haman's request would result in the destruction of his own king and her people. verse 4, for we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, to be annihilated. Had we been sold in male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. Esther explained that she and her people had been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. She added that if they had only been sold as slaves, she would have remained silent because the matter would not have been serious enough to trouble the king. Verses 5 and 6. So the king, Ahasuerus, answered and said to Queen Esther, who is he and where is he? Who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king demanded to know who had conceived such a wicked plan. Esther boldly identified Haman as the enemy and the adversary. Haman was then terrified as he stood before the king and queen. Verse 7, then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he showed that evil was determined against him by the king. The king became furious and left the banquet to enter the palace garden. He was undoubtedly enraged by Haman's deception and deeply troubled by the consequences of the decree he had authorized. Because a royal decree sealed with the king's signet ring could not simply be revoked under Persian law, as chapter 9, verse 19:88. The king had to consider how the situation could be remedied without directly canceling the original decree. Verse 8, when the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, will you also salute the queen while I am in the house? When as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. When the king returned from palace garden, Haman had fallen upon couch where Esther was. Haman was likely pleading desperately for his life, perhaps even grasping Esther's feet in supplication. The king later convinced of Haman's guilt, interpreted Haman's position as an attempt to assault the queen. When the king's words were spoken, Haman's face was covered. This appears to have signified that Haman was condemned and would no longer be permitted to appear before the king. His judgment was now certain. Verse 9, now Habona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look at the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him on it. Habona, one of the king's eunuchs, pointed out the gallows that Haman had prepared for Mordecai, the very Mordecai who had faithfully exposed the plot against the king, Esther, chapter 2, 21-23. Reference, citation. The king ordered Haman to be hanged on those gallows, and the king's anger subsided. Verse 10, question 1. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. Haman's evil plan ultimately turned against him. The very instrument he had prepared for Mordecai became the instrument of his own execution. This last trait, the biblical principle that those who plot evil against others may ultimately suffer the consequence of their own schemes. Close reference right here. The reversal in Esther also provides a powerful illustration of a broader biblical truth. God can turn apparent defeat into victory. The cross of Christ, which appeared to be the place of Jesus' defeat, became the very means by which he defeated sin, death, and the powers of darkness. Through the cross, Christ disarmed the principalities and powers and triumphed over them openly. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. 15th cross reference. Disarmed principality powers. What appeared to be Satan's victory became his defeat at Calvary. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. On that same day, King Ahasuerus gave Haman's house to Queen Esther. Esther then revealed to King how Mordecai was related to her. And Mordecai was brought into king's presence. The king removed his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. Esther also appointed Mordecai of Haman's household. Verse 3, question 2. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil Haman, the Agagite, and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. Although Haman had been executed, the crisis was not yet over. Esther again pleaded with the king, weeping, the falling at his feet, asking them put an end to the evil decree that Haman had devised against the Jews. Verses 4 to 6. And the king held out golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther rose and stood before the king and said, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedat the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen? The king extended a golden scepter to Esther, and she arose and stood before him. She respectfully asked the king to issue another decree that would counter Haman's plan and prevent the destruction of Jews. Esther could not simply remain silent while her people faced annihilation. Esther and Mordecai had demonstrated remarkable faithfulness by risking their lives for the preservation of their people. Scripture teaches us not to serve God merely for earthly reward, Matthew 6:1-4. Yet God often graciously honors faithful obedience in the ways we could never anticipate. In ways we could never anticipate. Esther and Mordecai were willing to risk everything, and God providentially elevated them to a position from which they could help deliver their people. Verse 7. Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and said, Mordecai, the Jew, indeed I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. The king reminded Esther and Mordecai that Haman had already been ejected and that his property had given to Esther, yet the original decree still remained in force. Verse 8, you yourselves write your decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name, sealed with king's signet ring, no one can revoke. The king could not revoke the original decree because a royal decree sealed with his signet ring could not be cancelled. Instead, he authorized Mordecai to write another decree in king's name, sealed with king's ring. The new decree would provide the Jews with a lawful means of defending themselves. Verse 9, so the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Shiva, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews. The satraps, the governors, and the princes of provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to every province in its own script, to every people in their own language, to the Jews in their own script and language. The king's scribes were summoned on the 23rd day of the third month. Sivan and Mordecai dictated a new decree. It was written in the language of scripts of all the people throughout Persian Empire, so that every community could understand it. Verse 10, and he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on the horseback, riding on royal horses, bred from swift steeds. The decree was written in the king's name, sealed with his signet ring, and sent by royal couriers riding the king's swift horses. Verses 11 and 12. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together, protect their lives, and to destroy, kill, annihilate all the forces of any people of a province that would assault them, both the little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. On one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, the new decree granted the Jews permission to assemble and defend themselves against anyone who attacked them. They were permitted to fight for their lives and to take the possessions of those who attacked them. Verse 13, a copy of a document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all the people, so that Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The appointed day was the 13th day of the 12th month, Adar, the very day Haman had a previous designated for the destruction of the Jews. Esther chapter 3, verse 13. 12th month, 13th day. The new decree, therefore, did not cancel the original decree. Rather, it provided Jews of legal authority to defend themselves when that day arrived. 14. The couriers who rode on royal horses went out, hastened and pressed on by the king's command, and the decree was issued in Shushan, the citadel. Because the king's command was urgent, the royal couriers quickly departed on the king's swift horses. The decree was also proclaimed in Shushan, the royal city. Verse 15 up to 17. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold, and a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor, and in every province and city, wherever the king command decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday.
Then many of the people of the land became Jews, because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Mordecai emerged from the king's presence dressed in royal garments, wearing a large golden crown and purple robe of fine linen. The city of Shushan rejoiced, and throughout the empire the Jews experienced light, gladness, joy, and honor. This was a remarkable reversal. The people who had previously been threatened with destruction now experienced the joy, gladness, and honor. Their mourning was turned into rejoicing because God had provided a means of preservation. As scripture repeatedly demonstrates, God is able to turn mourning into joy, bring deliverance when his people appear to have no way of escape. Psalm 35:11, cross reference. Mordecai had served faithfully for years, endured Haman's hatred, opposition, and ultimately risked his life for his people. Yet his exaltation was not merely the result of human effort, but it displayed God's providential care. God had been working behind the scenes throughout the entire story, positioning Esther and Mordecai for the moment when their faithfulness would be used for the preservation of his people. We covered all two questions, so let's just sing all together. Brochure, the Maranatha song. Also continue to keep on prayer for the Baltic Sea mission journey. So, and other mission area, especially South Sudan, chaplain, the ministries, and the Iranian underground churches as well. Also is flood damage in Nepal, the people, and the victims of Colombia, Venezuela, and so on.